Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back into our Father's Word. Seventh chapter of Jeremiah. He whom God launches forth. I don't know, is he tugging at your strings? Do you ever feel like God is talking to you, that he wants to utilize you? That's what this is kind of about. And some people know that there's more to God's Word than they've ever been taught. Because you don't really have that many people that teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That's how you find out what God has to say. As a matter of fact, in the seventh chapter we're in, it states in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. That's the Lord's word. That's how you acquire it. That's how you understand it. That's how clarity and blessings come to you from God. Now, we're in this chapter, and basically he's coming down on the religious community that kind of fills in like as though God didn't know really what he was doing. So they bring in traditions of men that make void the word of God. And he told Jeremiah, you go down to that temple and you watch the people. They'll come out of there and they'll say, the temple, the temple, the temple, or the church, the church, the church. If the church says it, it's okay. That's not true. Who do you worship, the temple or God? You see, a building won't save you, friend. That's what God is telling you. It's his word. It's his orders that bring blessings to you. Do you obey him? You know, after delivering our ancestors, he gave us an order. We'll be covering it in this chapter. Let's pick it up. Chapter 7, verse 10, word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, And the father continues. He said that the people don't trust in lying words, is what he had said in verse 8. And will you steal, murder, and commit adultery in verse 9? Then he comes to verse 10. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. You're doing this in the name of God? Where did you pick that up from? Because God says, I certainly didn't say it, and I didn't send those Yahoos that you listen to. You might say, well, how is a layperson going to know whether they're teaching God's word or their own in traditions of men? It's real simple. You know, I know I upset some people when I say this, but a child can tell. In his innocency, if you just let a child read to you and tell you what it says, he'll have it pretty close on, okay? And he said, hey, this thing called by my name, my sacred name, and you approve of abominations just because it was in this building? Like I said, a house is not going to save you, friend. Verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Question. Behold, even I, that's emphatic, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Say, you've stolen a birthright. You've got some people here that they don't even know who they are. I mean, my people Israel, who were to become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. You don't know where they are or who they are. Well, our people came over the Caucasus Mountains and they named us Caucasians. What were we before that? Well, 10 tribes. 10 tribes of what? Of Israel. And why do they call them Saxons? What does the word Saxons mean? It means Isaac's sons. Come on in out of the rain. Come to the truth of God's word and what happens in his house. Wake up. Verse 12. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh. Shiloh meaning a place of rest. Go there and look around. Where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. I took two of old Eli's sons and I whopped them dead just like that, and let the Ark of the Covenant be taken. All kinds of trouble broke loose, and Shiloh was no more God's place. He said, I destroyed it. I let it destroy itself. Why? Because of abominations. And listen, it's no different today, and I'm not knocking churches. Thank God for churches. But a church that will not teach God's word will not stand, and it certainly will not have God's blessings. Now, every once in a while, you'll have a beggar go out, which God said don't send out beggars, but if somebody's good enough a beggar, they can rake in enough shekels to kind of keep the electricity bill paid and some things and live off the community. But they never really quite get around to teaching God's word because they got to beg all the time. Do something holy like passing the plate again. Let's take another offering. This is why I won't allow an offering to be taken up at any meeting I have ever had in 50 years. And I'm a little too old to get it started now. Especially when if you do God's work, and if you'll teach God's word, you don't have to pass a plate. You don't have to beg. So what God said, I destroyed that house, and it was really something. There at Shiloh, place of peace. We kind of learned in this great book of Jeremiah so far, we find out in chapter 4, he didn't like what was going on in the first earth age, so he destroyed a whole age because of abominations. You know, our Father, his wrath builds. He doesn't like his house being utilized for robbery and thieves and lying. Verse 13, and now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early, and speaking, but you heard not. You wouldn't listen. And I called you, but you answered not. I sent prophet after prophet, teacher after teacher. You wouldn't listen. 14, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. It's going down. Okay. Verse 15. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Those 10 tribes are long gone. Well, that's the 10 tribes I was just speaking of. Where did they go? They were captured by the Assyrian and went over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe. Many of them later are moving to this great United States of America. And that's why you have this nation blessed. That's the house of Ephraim, the 10 tribes, made up of Europe and the Americas, the Christian nations, basically. I mean, you can kind of... It covers other religions as well, but the majority being Christ men. That's why they're blessed. Verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. If they're not the least bit interested, if they always go the opposite direction, don't try to intercede to me on their behalf until they kind of come around themselves. Now you might say, well, that sounds a little hard. No, it's not. Look at it in the sense of a child of your own. If they just simply turned on you and had nothing to do with you, called you names, and ruined the reputation of your good name by running it into debt or doing murder or filthy, evil stuff to drag your name and your heritage in the mud, what would you do? He's tired of it. And naturally, this has to do prophetically just before the end. It gets pretty bad, okay? verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? Look there today, my friend. It's a pressure cooker. 18. I'm talking historically and in the futurist sense. That's what this has to do with. The history is to show you how it's going to happen in the futurist sense. It's prophecy telling you what to be ready for. 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. You know, many people say, well, I'm sure glad our church doesn't do that. You know something? It is real sad that old Satan gets a hold of people in translators. Do you know why you never want anybody but a Christian doing your translating for you? Because a myth has arisen. Do you know the word Easter is only mentioned one time in the King James Version? But do you want to tell me, you want me to tell you a real truth? As far as the manuscripts go, it isn't written. It's not there. Do you understand that? It's not in God's Word, that word Easter. Because Easter is Ishtar, and it's this little Queen of Heaven that they make their little cakes to. If you go to the book of Acts and find the one place that Easter is translated into the English, and find out what it was in the Greek. I'm talking about the real Word of God, the manuscripts. Do you know what it says? Passel, which is to say Passover, the highest holy day of Christians, and the little cakes to the Queen of Heaven do not apply. As a matter of fact, if you have the oil of our people on Passover, and as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Christ became our Passover, that your little cakes won't fly over that, because the oil of our people on the doorpost prevents the death angel from ever entering your family as far as deceiving people. But filling your house with truth in God's blessings. And you wonder why God is angry? And I could go on further and tell you what they do in the woods, hide the little eggs in the yards and let the little hair baskets roll around. Where is that in the Bible? It's not. And do you know something? When you start playing with God's Word, like he said, it provokes me to anger. And you know, listen, time-wise, what does it mean when God's anger rises and his wrath spills over? We're talking about the end, friend. Time to wake up. Verse 19. Do they provoke me, or do they spite me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? They don't even know who they are. That's what God is saying. They're so confused, they have no idea from one generation to the other where they came from. And I, God the Creator, that put things in motion and brings forth the blessing, they don't care. They'd rather play hoppy, hippity, hoppity Easter Bunny than Christ on the cross paying for sins in the Word of God that brings blessings. He said, they do it for spite. They do it for ignorance, because they don't know any better. Verse 20, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Why? Our Father is a consuming fire. His fire will not harm you because you believe, you know, you see the truth. His fire is the Holy Spirit that warms your heart, gives you power and authority to bring forth His Word, to know how to live, to spot a fake when you see one, to spot a lie or somebody that stands in the house of God and puts forth a spewing lie that misleads people. God doesn't like that. again, I'm cautioning you. Do you notice his anger is building and spewing over? That only happens at one time. It happened in the first earth age. But he promises there's going to be another shaking. It's not only going to be on the earth this time, it's going to be in heaven also. That's how angry he is. He's going to clean house all the way around. But that same fire warms the hearts of those that love him, his word, and are his servants. 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. You take your burnt offerings that you're giving to me and you eat it yourself and see how you get along with it. See if you enjoy it. I don't. That's what he's saying. That you eat it yourself. Verse 22, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. I didn't give those orders. They weren't given. Well, what orders did he give? We're going to find out in the next verse. And you better pay attention, because that order still holds to this day. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. Go ahead and eat them yourself. He wants your love. And it better be real. It better not be conjured up from traditions of men. It better be because of this word, the love that he pours out. And yet he doesn't want to be, he doesn't like spiteful people that simply go against him because they're non-believers claiming to be Christian or followers of God in some religion form or the other, but just play church. Playhouse of God, the church. The church won't do anything for you. It's God that blesses his house. It is God that brings forth the blessings. And you either are with the Father or you're out, friend. You know, when our Father says, don't even, for those that are out, don't even pray an intercessory prayer. That's getting pretty heavy, friend. That means our Father has had it. And we know there is that point, one day too late, friend, because it will boil over. The pressure cooker is going to go off. Verse 23, but this thing commanded I them. You got it? This is what I commanded. Don't you ever forget this verse, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Is it well with you? You know, do you remember verse 1? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Have you read that comes from the Lord, or do you play with men's words? He said, You don't have to burn up those animals you want to sacrifice. You eat them yourself. I don't want them. All I want you to do is obey my voice, obey my command. Love me, and I'll be your God. I'll be your Father. I will bless you. It'll be good for you. I'll see that the big rocks are kicked out of the road for you and that the sailing is pretty smooth. I expect you not to be a wimp, but somebody a child I can be happy with. Because God likes to be blessed also with somebody that will obey his voice, that he can be their father, and that will say, I'm one of his children. And my family is his people. And we walk in his ways. That's to say the path he wanted us to walk in. And Christ is that way. You got it? There's only one way. Christ is that way. And we walk in it. He commanded you. And that's what he wants from you. After he freed the people from bondage, he said, that's all I want now. I want you to obey me. Listen to me. Don't turn your back on me. Don't go out listening to some stumble bum that says the church, the church, the church. You know, a lot of people say, well, are you mocking the church? No, he was. But he was doing it in irony simply to teach you it's his house. And you know something? If he isn't there, it's not his house. It's just a building. And the building cannot do anything for you. And while you're in his building, you must obey his voice, his word, his command, and walk in that way to show him that you are a believer and that you love him. That's important, beloved. Don't ever forget that 23rd verse of this 7th chapter of Jeremiah. It's extremely important. Just if you want to cook up something, you eat it yourself. But obey my voice. That'll please me. And besides that, it'll be well with you. You'll be blessed. You want to know how to be blessed? That verse will get it for you. Verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. They just wouldn't listen. But walked in the counsels of the scribes, basically, and in the imagination of their evil heart, their evil mind, and went backward and not forward. It is amazing to me how many houses can be set up where they have the laughing house. They have the blow me over, let me fall down for the church. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from God. What kind of game are they playing? And then claim they're servants of God. Friend, I never judge anyone, but God's word, when you obey it, makes it pretty clear what he expects, what counsel is it then that you should keep? He just told you his word. Let him counsel you, not man, not some scribe. Well, when did God send us someone to follow? Well, wake up. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, Daniel, Zechariah, Matthew, Luke, John, little old Mark, and Paul, and on. Who did he send? All of them with the word that you're supposed to obey. Not a house. 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets. They came daily, rising up early and sending them. You had them all. And Jeremiah, of course, what we're studying him being one of them. You had the word. That's what he wants you to obey. 26. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. I mean, if it could get any worse. Meaning, they're worse than it was at Shiloh. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them. You tell them. But they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. What? They're blinded. They don't know who they are. But you're accountable. There's going to be some that are going to hear. And they are the precious lambs of God. That's why Jesus three times would say, Peter, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. With what? The Word of God. That's what's important. And there will be some that will hear, but don't expect the majority, because they're going to wander after the false one. Why? They don't care. It's their choice. They would rather hip-hop the bunny trail. 28. And thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. You know, when you're fortunate enough in a nation to face truth straight on and destroy your enemy, do you know that you'll have knuckleheads in that'll say, well, you shouldn't do that to the enemy. That's not playing fair with them to find out what they're doing. What kind of nation do you think we are that we should eavesdrop on our enemy? And what kind of idiot would say something like that? I don't know. Are you calling people names? No, they call themselves the name. We have to protect our nation and our country. It's God blessed. And people that don't believe in God or that go against God to remove God from this nation deserve to be put somewhere else or to be identified. You don't have to worry. They identify themselves. I'm not identifying them. I haven't mentioned one name. It is the way. You're supposed to obey God. Obey Him. Next verse. Let's go with the next verse. Verse 29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Now, there's a lot in that verse, and don't you dare read over it. You think. You put your gray matter in gear. What is it? The generation of his wrath. Which generation is that? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, the generation in which his wrath spews over, what generation is it? It's the last one. It's the generation of the fig tree. And you notice that, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem. You notice that Jerusalem in your King James is in italics. If you got one of those newer versions that they print to try to get you lost, you're lost already anyway and would never see it or know it if you didn't have a teacher. When it's in italics in the King James, it means it's been added. Now, the verb is feminine. You're not in the sense of the city, but his daughters, daughters of my people, is what should be placed there. That's what's being addressed in the feminine. And it goes all the way back to Ezekiel 13, where he speaks to the daughter of his people that's so courteous to cover the outsaving wonderful arms of God, whereby he says through his voice, come into my arms for salvation. But he said in Ezekiel 13, they, the little houses that make up and claim to be the house, teach people to fly to save their souls, and I'm against it. That's Bible, my friend. Have you ever read it? Or are you lost? Do you listen to traditions that make void God's word? You see, there's a lot in that verse. Take up a lamentation on the high places. The high places is where they practice all sorts of orgies and call it religion. Verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And naturally, it's kind of sad. The Kenites, the sons of Cain, that are not converted. It's a bad time, my friend. We're in that generation where the wrath builds up and spews over. You better be awake. You don't need to set an alarm clock. All you need to do is watch current events. Watch what's happening in this nation and other nations. Very carefully and very closely. This Bible is like reading tomorrow's newspaper. 31. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Let's talk about these places. Tophet means the place of burning. Okay? And Hinnom is, you might as well say, it's Gehenna, it's the gate to hell. The burning and the gate to hell, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. It didn't enter my mind to sacrifice children. But people through false religion, if they're not real careful, they will sacrifice their own children by leading them down Primrose Lane in the generation of the wrath, making little cookies to the Queen of Heaven, being led so far off course to teach them to fly to save their souls until they're lost beings. I know that offends some. And the truth sometimes hurts, but the truth heals. And the truth will set you free from the things that God calls an abomination in his house. Well, you mean that's what's going on in some churches? Well, what do you think is called the house of God? Where would you think it'd be? At the beer parlor down the street there? Not down this street, this is a dry county, but you know, where are you going to find the house of God? Think about it. You got one next door? You got one on every corner? I don't know what goes on there. I can't tell you, and I'm not going to judge, but God is. So what he's saying here is you can, you've built your own burning place, Tophet. And you're right there at Hinnon, which is Gehenna, the valley of Gehenna, where the garbage pit is, where the burning takes place. You built your own hell. And, you know, a lot of you do. You threaten your little children. Say, you can't go to hell and burn like a piece of bacon if you don't straighten up. That didn't enter God's mind. God is a cleansing fire, a consuming fire. There's a big difference. 32, rather. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Not maybe, not perhaps. The days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, burning, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, that's the place, the gate to hell, but the valley of the slaughter. For they shall bury it in Tophet till there be no place. There's going to be so many of them spiritually dead in a hammer that those bones in that valley would take a millennium to get the truth spread to them, to shake them back to life. You know, when you remove God's word as it is written, I mean, he sent Jeremiah with these words and said, it is my word. And when you take that away from the people, you rob them. How can they know except they cover the word? Not a bunch of traditions. Well, dear brother, I've been a reverend for quite some time, and if you go over one verse in that book, they won't listen to you, you'll lose them. No, God's lost them, and he's lost you. God's word is never boring. It's exciting. It's vivacious. It's life-saving. And it brings God's blessings to where your family is blessed instead of muddling through the mud troughs of the end times. You can walk on high ground with blessings because God blesses you when you keep his house as it should be. And it's real simple. Just obey his voice. You know, what is difficult about that? Obey his voice. What is his voice? This word. He sent these prophets to you for your profit. Think about it. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart, you. Listen a moment, won't you please? The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses, that those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing. The law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. Again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question? Hey, lay it on us, all right? Let it be concerning our Father's Word, though. Please never ask a question about a revolving rev or some religion, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. Our Father's the judge, and hey, he lays it out pretty heavy, but it's always healing. It's blessed. You know, if you do what he says, He said, if you obey my voice, it's going to be well with you. That's his promise. You know, I'd claim it if I were you. If you haven't already, I'd sure claim it. And I'd try to follow that word because it's always true. And his blessings always flow. Flows like a river. Okay. But you got to obey him. That's all he asks. Just that you love him and hear his voice. Okay, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. And again, always a pleasure. You got a prayer request? You don't need the number. You don't need an address. You need to just talk to your Father. Why? He knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. He knows what you're thinking. But do you know what he expects from you? He made it pretty clear in this lecture today. He wants your love. Doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants your love. He wants you to listen to him, to obey him. You're his child, and he wants you to come home. He wants you to be blessed. Why? He loves you. He doesn't want you to have to knock it out day after day of hardship, worry, tears. Come home. Come to him, and it'll be well. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, and we'll get right into some questions here. Cindy from Oregon. Why do you say there will be no rapture when the Bible says there will be a rapture? Where? I'd like to find that. Where did you find the word rapture in the Bible? What kind of Bible do you have? Because the word rapture is not in the Bible. You've been listening to traditions of man. When it says in the Greek that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we're going to meet him in the air, do you know what that word air is, air, in the Greek? It means the breath of life body. Okay? Now, you got some cheap Strong's concordances out that won't back me up on that, and so that's why you want to make sure you get one from us. Because you've got some little scribes that are trying to rob you by changing meanings and definitions. I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you buy a concordance by Dr. Strong, that you got a modern day something that thinks he is a better scholar, you got trouble. You can be had real easy. Okay. Anybody that knows Dr. Strong's work doesn't ask for someone to edit it. That will degrade it. And that's what has happened in that case. It means your spiritual body. And what did it say there anyway? It didn't say we were going to rapture. And go back to verse 13 and get the subject. What is the subject? What's it talking about? Paul's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. And that's good. You shouldn't be ignorant like the heathen and think you're going to fly away. He says, if you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe all that died in him has risen also. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. They're already gone. The dead in Christ rise first. Why? Because they're already gone. They're out of here. God is not the God of dead, but of the living. Okay? Even Satan is alive. Not even he has died yet. Okay? So, you see, I say it because it's a lie. And if you read Ezekiel chapter 13, beginning with verse 18, you'll find out God is very much against the teaching of his people to fly to save their souls when he has the outreaching arms to save them. Be real careful, little lady. Leonard from Ohio, is there a scripture in the Bible pertaining to what our Lord looked like when he was here? Most beautiful verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. When it comes to his comeliness, there is no beauty that you would desire. He's got it all. A lot of people misread that verse, thinking, oh, he was just pretty plain. No, it's just the opposite. He lacked nothing. Do you know why? Because when God said, let us create man in our image, Christ was God's image. Our Father. Beautiful. Harriet from Massachusetts. Do you have to go to church to repent, or can you just pray and I have a child that I need to get him baptized in order for him to be saved. Do I have to do that? A child, when they become of the age of accountability, must decide for themselves. You can't decide for your child when it's time to be baptized. The child must know what baptism is about and request baptism his or herself, okay? So your child is saved because of innocency at this time. You don't have to worry about it. Teach them. But you might say, well, what age is it? It's different for all different children. Some children really very young know that baptism represents a public declaration that Christ went into the tomb, but that he came out, went into the water and came right back out. And those sins were washed for all of us, okay? You don't have to, a church, you know, you ask this question in a good time, do you have to go to church to repent? What did God just say in the seventh chapter? They're going to say to you, the church has got to forgive you. The church can't forgive you anything. You know what the church is? It's a bunch of sticks, bricks, stones, rocks, and that's it. It's God in it that heals, that blesses, that forgives, that saves. So you can repent in your own home and ask God to take you in, that you're a believer, and inherit eternal life. That's all. That's what's necessary. And obey Him, follow Him, and you got it made. But you see, every child must make their own mind up. I know you're the mother, and I know you want the best for them. Teach them and bring them up in the way of the Lord, and they'll never leave it. They may drift away at times. They'll be back. Michelle from New Mexico. Could you explain a little more about Judas being murdered in Acts 1:18? Well, did Judas repent? It says right there very clearly that Judas repented. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, it says that Judas was hanged all right. He was hanged on a tree and then split open from his throat all the way down past his belly button until his entrails fell out on the ground. I mean, the Kenites gave him a lot of help. They couldn't have him walking around saying how they had paid 30 pieces of silver to get him to betray Christ to death. What would that make the church look like a bunch of crooks, which they were at that time, appointed by a Roman governor, not God. Okay? But that's as it is. Okay? Catherine from Connecticut. If a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and the seventh day is the Sabbath, a day of rest and teaching, could we look at the millennium as a Sabbath day, the Lord's day? You sure could, because that's exactly what it is. The Lord's day is a millennium, and it's going to be a day of teaching. Troy from Georgia, do you know anything about the watches mentioned throughout the Bible in Genesis 13:13 and in Revelation 17:8? Naturally, the watches set forth in Genesis, there were three of them. And one would begin at sunset and would end at about 10 p.m. And the next watch would start at 10 and it would go until 2 in the morning. And then at 2 in the morning, that one would end and it would go till sunset. Therefore, you would have sunset to 10, 10 to 2, and 2 to sunrise. That was three. But the Romans had four. Okay, so when you're in the New Testament, you're going to have four watches, and they're different. The first watch on the Roman watches is from sunset to 9 is 1, and from 9 to midnight is 2, and from 9 to midnight is 2, and midnight to 3 is the third one, and from 3 to sunrise, or 6, on the Roman calendar gives you, gives you four watches, okay, and they would fit accordingly. And from Pennsylvania, where in the Bible does it say about the adding of house onto house? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, woe to those that join house on the house. Meaning if people overcrowding themselves. Why? Because you get bad apples. And you don't have the freedom of having space. It's bad because when you overcrowd people, disease runs heavier. It's just like when in farming, when you move your poultry from range fed and cram them up in some little old house by the thousands, if one of them gets something, the whole bunch does. Okay, it just runs all through it. The same thing with people. But the main thing is man was created to need some breathing room. Okay. But, hey, the way the earth is crowded now, we have, in some cases, but some of us still like the room. Okay, I sure do. Gwendolyn from Texas. I heard a preacher on TV, let me see what we're saying here, because I never comment on what. He was speaking about faith. He said if we pray for something and end it in God's will, we have deleted our prayer. Well, I always thought we were to pray in God's will. You thought right and that guy's wrong. Okay. Just because some guy's teaching on TV doesn't make him perfect. Okay. This man or any other man. He's as far off as off can be. The Bible quite distinctly instructs praying God's will. Asking God's will. You know, if you really loved your father, why would you want something that wasn't his will anyway? I don't really understand. You know, a lot of preachers think that it shows weakness to ask in his will. Do you know what that means? It means they don't believe in God. They don't trust God. And that's why God doesn't bless them. This one, you're probably, I have no idea who you listen to, and I'm not judging him, but I'll bet he's a beggar of money to stay on TV, because God would not bless that. How would God want to bless somebody that goes against his will? I mean, you know, a child can kind of see through that. You sure have, and I'm proud of you. Rufus from Florida, my question, you said that God is not the God of the dead. I thought he died for all. Wherein we live, whether we live or die, that he is Lord of all, both the Lord both of the dead and the living. Well, he is that, but where do you think the dead are? To be absent from this body is present with God. Where do you think, in other words, they're living. They're not dead. God hasn't killed anyone yet as far as dead is concerned. Not even the fallen angels are dead yet. But they will at the seventh trump when Christ returns. 7,000 of them, as it is written in Revelation 11. But nobody is dead yet. Not even Abraham is dead. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, he showed you a picture of paradise where they're all at and told you what the pecking order was there for them. You know, why would you want to serve a God of the dead? Okay. Now, you see, figures of speech, if you're not real careful and if you're not learned in idioms, metaphors, and figures of speech, Hebraisms and so forth, then you might not know the difference between ekos and ekos in the Greek, which means spiritually dead or actually dead. So sometimes when it says someone is spiritually dead, let's take the example, my friend, of Ezekiel 37. There's a valley of dry bones, just drier than, I mean, there's no life in them. And what did God tell Ezekiel? Prophesy to them. That means teach them. And bone began to come to bone and life to life. They were spiritually dead only. Hey, you can look around the world today, and I guarantee you, you don't have to look very far to it. You'll see a whole pile of spiritually dead. Deader than a hammer. Okay. So, and God is not their God. God is not the God of the dead, spiritually or otherwise, because No one is dead yet, not even Satan. Sylvia from California. Dear Pastor, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see here. I need to know. I got married in Reno, Nevada, 32 years ago. I've been told that I need to get married through a church so my marriage would be blessed. I have been a reborn Christian for about 5 years now, and my husband is not, but I pray for him a lot. Well, darling, let me tell you something. If you two have got along for 32 years, you've done a lot better than a lot of those married in the church did. Okay? I think you're doing pretty good. You all do love each other, and you were married, your vows were to God that you loved each other. So I don't figure that a marriage, what happened there with Ruth and Boaz? Boaz said, oh, little darling, now just hold off everything. We got to go to church and get married. That isn't what he said. And that isn't more than what God blessed it. When he placed his skirt, and you know, God himself, when he, as a figure, as a metaphor, an idiom, married Jerusalem. I mean, he watched her as an unclean, a little female girl, even had an unclean birth, wasn't even swaddled. And she grew up beautiful as she matured, and maturity was obvious, and he fell in love with her. He placed his skirt over her, okay? He didn't take her down to the church, the church, the church. And I'm not knocking churches, okay? I'm just saying, after 32 years, you be blessed, and you set that example for your husband. He'll be along, okay? You're doing real good. Don't let somebody feed you that, okay? You have proved yourselves by being together for 32 years. Alan, you know, that's a good marriage. Alan from Texas. Pastor Murray, you say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't say that. The Word does, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Another minister told me the body lays in the grave until resurrection. Please explain, for I'm confused. Well, do you believe God's Word? Or, you know, I want you to make a note of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, and tell me where man's spirit, which is the intellect of his soul, which means the man, that's self, where he goes when he breathes his last breath, if he goes into a grave. Now, you either got to believe God or you got to believe that preacher. And that preacher's misleading you, okay? He may be just ignorant innocently. I don't know. I'm not going to judge him. But I don't want to see you deceived. Naturally, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it says instantly. When this flesh dies, it goes back to the grave. But you're through with it. It goes back to dirt. But you step into that inner body, that spiritual body, and instantly go back to the Father who gave it. Okay? Don't listen to people that says God lets the dead lie out here in the ground. Nobody does. He loves his children. Okay? And some of them are there. Well, you mean sinners go up right up there where he, well, but who's going to judge them? You want the devil to judge them? They got to go to the Father and wait for judgment before he can judge them. Angel from California. I would also like to ask Pastor Murray if he could please tell me where was Jesus during his teen years and in his 20s. My dad always asked me this question, where in the Bible can I search for answers? Thank you again. Well, Angel, you need to go to history for part of this. I would highly recommend that you check our book list and you'll find a book titled Traditions of Glastonbury. And I think that will help you a great deal. You know, there is history that documents that Joseph of Arimathea, who claimed his body, why he was kinsman's redeemer, he was Mary's uncle, that you will see in Glastonbury that Joseph, you know why he was rich? Because he had 10 mines in Great Britain. And you will have pictures with the cross and Joseph in this boat with a sail and a young lad up in the bow of the boat coming to England. to pick up 10. And he there's quite a record. He spent part of it at the synagogue, right there in Jerusalem, when he was 12 years old. I mean, you had the doctors of the DD, DS, and BS, all of them right there in one line. And he was only 12 years old, and he straightened the whole bunch out. They were amazed at the knowledge that boy had. That is biblical, and that you'll find that in the Bible, okay? But it's a wonderful thing to know history as well as God's Word. When God's Word leaves off, the history takes over, and it tells us a great deal. Always check it out, though, and nothing comes over the Bible. Billy from Georgia. My husband was killed by a drunk driver. I was told that in heaven he will still be my husband. I know that we will not be male or female, but will he still be my husband? It is said we will be known as we were known. Thank you, and I love your program. I watch daily, and I love to learn. And I'm running out of time here. You will know him. But we will all have the same husband, and that will be the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Great wedding coming. But you are as an angel, he will be as an angel. And don't you worry about it. Everything is cool, and I'm sorry you lost him, and he's going to comfort you. All right, I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a bunch because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day, and when you make his, when you obey his voice, he's going to bless you. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. But most of all this, you stay in his word. Set aside a little time. Every day in it's a good day. You know why? Even with trouble? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand